This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, our Creator, our Sustainer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in this waqt of Jumu'ah, to grant us to see through the rest of Sha'ban and to enter into the month of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all the Muslimin this year and the years to come. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send our greetings, our love, our salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his family and companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, today insha'Allah will be the last Jumu'ah before Ramadan 2017. And this is a very big event and moment for each and every one of us. And like every big moment and event, if it's maybe your wedding, maybe it's your graduation, maybe it's whatever it might be in your life, it's important to be prepared and get the mindset ready for Ramadan. Because this is a highlight in your, not just this year, but a highlight in your life. And your objective, your purpose in this dunya, why you are created, we reflect on that. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the last ayah in the Quran, وَاتَّكُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, that remember, be conscious about the day you return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this time on this dunya is only momentary. That everything that you have in your dunya is only for a short period. Your health, your family, your wealth, it's given to you, but you know, you came in with nothing and you're going to exit with nothing. So the true objective of life, the true objective and the meaning why you and I are here, we need to reflect on that. And we take this moment to think of the big picture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us on this dunya for a reason, a purpose. To worship Him and draw near to Him. Yet when we look at our lives, we know all the good deeds we don't do, all the sunnah acts, the fasting that we've missed, the tahajjuds we've missed, the compulsory things we've missed, and all the sins that we do against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we all know that we are not in a perfect position. None of us can say we are ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah says, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ, that this dunya and chasing after the dunya and living in the dunya, it distracts you. It keeps you blinded. حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ. Only when you get to the qabr, only when you and I go to the qabr, will we wake up. That our eyes will only wake up the day we enter the qabr. كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. No, you shall come to know. Allah says, the day you enter the qabr, the day those people carry your body, they wash your body, they bring it to the masjid and make salatul janazah on you and me, and they take you to the qabr, and even your most beloved of beloveds will leave you there alone. That's the day we will come to know, what did I do in the life? My position, what was my time? How did I spend my time? كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. Know if you knew with a sure knowledge, لَتَرَوْنَ الْجَحِيمَ, that you will see Jahim, the fire, you will see Jahannam, ثُمَّ لَتَرَوْنَهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينَ, and then you will see with certainty, لَتُسْتُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, that the day of Qiyamah we shall be asked about the delights about our life. So the reality of life and death, we get distracted by the dunya, we get distracted by work, by deadlines, by exams, by family. No, nothing wrong. But we need to focus and wake up before we wake up in the qabr. And that's why Allah gives us these bonus moments. He gives us these gifts to bring us back on track. That in the light of our reason for living, to prepare ourselves for that qiyamah, if we haven't done it every single day of our life, if months have gone past and we didn't really wake up, well, Allah gives us this Ramadan, gives us these moments that we should wake up. That in our race and our duty to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter where we are, no matter how far back we are in this race, no matter how many sins we've made, Allah gives you this Ramadan, this bonus, this 1 month, these 30 days. Take it and it will put you back on track. that it will get you ready. That if you attain, if you and I really benefit from Ramadan, at the end of Ramadan, you are ready to die to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really. The person who captures Ramadan correctly, then his scales and his position with Allah, he has succeeded, he has crossed that line. Of the importance of Ramadan, and as I said, when you look at Ramadan, don't look at it only as a month of fasting. I have to do a certain things and get through the month. Look at it that my life is in the balance. That this is an exam for my success of Jannah, Jahannam. That between me and Jannah or Jahannam are these 30 days. My life is on the line. You and I, our lives are on the line depending on how we experience this Ramadan. And we only have a limited number of Ramadans in our life. Still, Malikul Maut is busy. We know people who are passing away yesterday, who will pass away today. Might be you, might be me. We will not get to Ramadan. We only are given a few number of Ramadans and that's it. And this bonus doesn't come for everybody. It might be that this be your last Ramadan, might be my last Ramadan. And yet you only need one, you and I, we only need one to get us on par with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to confirm our place in Jannah. Every day of Ramadan is an opportunity to get yourself into Jannah, no matter where you are today. But 30 days from now, you could be a Jannah person. Even if today, well, may Allah, la samahallah, we might have Jahannam against our names. We are on course for Jahannam, but this month can bring us to Jannah. Of the events of this thing, just to remind, you know all these things, that it is, as I said, a major event in your life. It is one of those blessings Allah is going to ask each and every one of us, how did we use this Ramadan? It is a pillar of our Islam. This is what makes you a Muslim. This is what your deen is built on. That all the fasting that you could do in your life will not equal one day of compulsory fasting. That you have three opportunities to get all your sins forgiven. Three things Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with iman and hope for the reward, all your sins will be forgiven. If you fast correctly, 30 days, 29 days, fast it correctly, guaranteed all your sins will be forgiven. If that's too difficult for you, then whoever stands every single night in Ramadan or stands regularly in Salah during the month of Ramadan with iman and hope for reward, all your sins will be forgiven. So either the day you get your sins forgiven or the night. And if still you can't do it consistently throughout the 30 days, then if you are lucky enough to stand the night of Laylatul Qadr in Salah with iman and hope for reward, Allah will forgive all your sins. But it is so easy for us to get our sins forgiven that the Prophet ﷺ said, only a person cut off, a person who is really, really cursed by Allah, will not get the mercy of this month. That it's almost impossible to lose out in this month. For everybody, even the biggest sinner of sinners, will get mercy this month if he makes a little bit of effort. Remember, you are doing that which Allah loves the most. There is nothing Allah loves more than you doing the fara'id, the compulsory, and you're giving Allah that which He loves the most. So those days while you are fasting, tell yourself, I'm accomplishing a pillar of iman, that I am affirming my position as a Muslim, and I'm doing the thing Allah loves the most. And that's why Allah says the reward for Ramadan, one of the rewards, is that He cannot explain what it is. You must only see it, it's hidden for you. Only on Qiyamah, everyone will receive the reward individually. That in a hadith that I've mentioned before, there were two brothers who came to the Prophet ﷺ and embraced Islam. And the one went out and fought jihad and died. And the other lived for another year and died a natural death. And Talha, one of the 10 promised Jannah, 10 Sahabis promised Jannah, Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu, he saw them in his dream. And he saw them going to the gates of Jannah, and they were standing to enter Jannah. And the man who died the natural death was admitted first to Jannah, and a time passed, and then the Shaheed entered Jannah after him. And Talha was shocked and amazed by this dream, and he asked the Prophet ﷺ about it. And the Nabi ﷺ said, why are you amazed that the guy who died a normal death went to Jannah first? Didn't he have one extra year of life? And in that life, that extra year, he got one extra Ramadan. Meaning the reward of this one Ramadan is greater than even the reward of a Shaheed. Why? I mean, you ask, how is that possible? Well, this is a pillar of Islam. Jihad is not one of the five pillars of Islam. Ramadan is greater act of ibadah. And each and every one of us, we are in there. You know, if we go on Hajj, alhamdulillah, that mindset is sometimes there. We prepare years in advance. We go for Hajj classes. It's a big date. We circle. We're going to take off. Our flight is that day. If we were going on Jihad, it would be on our minds. And we therefore need to get into the Ramadan mindset. If you look at these hadith, Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam does not say if you stand in salah and if you fast, you'll get the reward. If you stand and if you fast with iman and hope for rewards. And these two things are an internal, it's a mindset. Two people can be not eating, but one is fasting and the other one is not fasting. So the important thing for us to do in these 6 hours or so, 5 hours before Ramadan enters, is to get that mindset right. Because we'll be judged not just on what we do outside, but how we are doing it on the inside. And one successful Ramadan, as I said, is all you need. These 30 days are your test, my test. These 30 days can fix my dunya and my akhirah. Fix all my problems, all the issues in my life. It's these 30 days. That battle I need to do with myself is not to lose a single moment of these 30 days. And if you get the full reward of it, if you get all your rewards of Ramadan, inshaAllah, as I said, there's no reward that can be given except freedom from Jahannam and a place in Jannah. On this month also, we understand that there will be this night of Laylatul Qadr. I want you to, this khutbah is not about things you don't know, but it's maybe to reflect and think about it. Whenever you wake up, and I wake up in Ramadan, and there's an opportunity to do something which is not the best in terms of time, you must think, this could be, this hour or 2 hours could be the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. That if I made ibadah now, and Allah accepts this ibadah, all my sins can be forgiven. That's the thing we need to think about. And in this month, in these 30 days, is the night of destiny. A night where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decree your life, my life. When you die, when I die. If the rain is going to come back to Cape Town, ya Allah, let the rain come. If your job is going to give you rizq or you're going to lose your job. If your children are going to be healthy or unhealthy. If life and death, if Jannah is for you or Jahannam, it's going to be decreed, it's going to be determined within these 30 days to come, 30 nights. One of these, it could be tonight. Yes, it's most likely in the last 10 nights, in the odd nights, but it could also be outside of the last 10 nights. It could be tonight that Laylatul Qadr. That night of destiny is coming. And therefore, every night you should ask yourself, if tonight were Laylatul Qadr, and my decrees and my position in the Akhirah is determined, am I ready? Do I feel I've done enough? Because you and I have the opportunity to make dua for that to be decreed in my favor. Our belief with regards to free will and destiny is that while Allah decrees, He also gives you and me the ability and the option to make dua. That we can increase our rizq, we can even increase our life. Hadith, that you can even go beyond the moment that is destined for you to die, Allah can change it for you through du'as and good deeds. And that day, that night is coming. It can only be one of these 30 days. This night, if you capture this night in salah and in ibadah, it forgives all your sins. If you capture this night in du'a, it opens the doors of your future. If you capture this night in ibadah and it's accepted, better than 1,000 months. And what will make you understand what that is? That it is 83 years of perfect worship if you capture this one night of Laylatul Qadr. And maybe just a way for us to understand, I say this always, think about your salary. It's the 25th, right? People get paid. Think about your salary, your monthly salary, times by 1,000. That's what you're going to get for one night of ibadah. As if your boss told you, come in tonight, work from Maghrib until Fajr, and I'm going to give you 1,000 months salary, a lifetime of reward just for these few hours, none of us would lose out. Even if he said, listen, if you work properly these 30 days, every single night, you don't lose out a single second of that 30 nights, and I give you a salary of 1,000 months, each and every one of us will be meticulous. Remember, this is Jannah and Jahannam in the balance. If we capture All of us can do it. And I don't want us to feel, a lot of people come in with already a defeated mindset. Shaitan is working hard. You know, he's going to be locked up soon. You know, his parole is going to be revoked soon. So he's working very hard to plant those seeds of negativity. But you can't get there. This is only for the awliya. No. Think of all of us, think of our sins that we do. This is between us and Allah. I haven't done enough, ya Allah, to save myself. But this month is there for you to save you from those sins. I haven't done enough ibadat that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah is going to weigh our deeds. And if the pan, the scale is heavier, our good deeds are more than our bad deeds. If our salah, our fasting, our charity is more than the haram we looked at, the haram we eat, the haram we do, then we go to Jannah. And if it's light, then it's going to be difficult for us. And we need to ask ourselves, where is our account standing? Are we in the negative or in the positive with Allah? And even if you are in the most extreme negative, this 30 days can take you out and override all that negativity into positive. It will take you out. It's like someone telling you and your Sharia compliant bond, whatever debts you have, these 30 days, if you ask and you make proper, all your debts will be scrapped. You've got this amnesty in these 30 days, these 30 nights, all of us. So how do we make the most of it? Because unfortunately, we can't give up our jobs and we can't put our families on pause and spend the entire 30 days and nights in itikaf, even though we would love to do that. But that's not the way the Prophet ﷺ fasts. The dunya continues. And the temptations will continue. The restaurants will continue making lovely food and you'll have to pass by it and you'll be fasting. The TV programs will continue on TV while you're coming for Taraweeh. The Proteas or the Cricketers or the All Blacks, in the case of many of you, will play. And you will have to choose. That is your test. Do I choose that over my Jannah? Every moment, the test of fasting is that. Do I choose this thing or Jannah? Do I choose this thing or my decree? That's the moment and the conversation we must have every second of Ramadan until Eid. Until Eid. So how do you make the most with still having to see to all your commitments? Do something good every single night. So don't be of those, you know, like those people like sprint. You know, ibadat is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And it's better that you do a little every night than two, three nights a lot. Why? Because if you make salah every single night of Ramadan, even a little, you recite a little bit of Quran every single night, you give charity every single night of Ramadan, it meant that one of those nights was Laylatul Qadr and you did good deeds on Laylatul Qadr. So many people keep the zakah and the charity during Ramadan. You just give it, if you want to give all of it in the beginning or at the end or in the last 10 nights, alhamdulillah. But if you spread it out throughout the Ramadan, it maximizes your opportunity to capture Laylatul Qadr. We know also, the hadith says, whoever makes salah regularly during the month of Ramadan, now if you look at it, we're still only making 1 or 2 hours of salah and the rest of the night, we're not making salah. So how do I maximize it? Does it mean I need to make salah the entire night? Well, if you do that, you're obviously capturing your chance of entering Jannah. But a shortcut to that is whoever makes Salatul Taraweeh with the Imam and Witr with him, you stay the entire program with the Imam. Then the Prophet mentions in this hadith that the entire night will be written for you as Qiyamul Layl. So if you make every Taraweeh with the Imam until the end, then you're guaranteed, Ya Allah, for 30 days and nights, for 30 nights I made Salah the entire night. You're maximizing your opportunity to get the rewards of Ramadan. A part of this month is about sharing blessings. And we know the shortcut of getting rewards is to get someone to break their fast. So make an effort to get people to break their fast by your hands. And the powerful times for du'as, never is the du'a of a fasting person rejected. Only it's given to you in a way which you don't understand. Each and every one of us, and some scholars have said, spend these few hours before Ramadan, make a list, what do I need? So-and-so is sick, so-and-so's exams are coming up, so-and-so is about to get married or looking to get married, so-and-so needs this, their business is struggling, make a list. You have 30 days where your du'as are not going to be rejected, especially before Maghrib. That time around the buka table, it's not, and we want to have conversations and it's good to meet one another, but spend that time in du'a. I need to make dua. I only have 30 opportunities. Think about it. You have 30 opportunities where Allah says, come to my office. Whatever you ask, I give it to you. Now, how can we let those opportunities go to waste? So think clearly about what I need to make dua for. And don't forget the ummah at large. Don't forget the rain that we need. Don't forget Syria in your du'as. All of us, du'as can change. If du'a can change your death, it can change everything. So make a firm effort that I want to make as much du'a as I can, especially at the moment before Maghrib when I break my fast. And things to avoid during Ramadan. If food and drink is required by Allah to give up, which is halal, then what about sin? Sin we have to give up. And if we continue to doing sin after during Ramadan, it's really an indication of our bad side, because shaitan is locked up. And remove distractions. Maybe it's a good time not to renew your DStv subscription this month. Or to put your phones aside. Deactivate your Facebook. Or for the sisters to leave the kitchen a little bit. These things distract you. Every moment, every second, you must ask, is it better for me to do this or to be making dua for my akhirah? Is it better for me to do this or to secure my place in Jannah? We don't know when that moment is going to come, when the du'as are most mustajab. We don't know exactly. And that moment could be wasted by doing something that distracts you. So try your best to avoid those distractions. And remember, one of the things that prevents our ibadat from being fully accepted are when we have broken relationships. Even if someone is so wrong and he did something wrong, try to mend those. Send him the Ramadan Mubarak message. If you haven't spoken to your brother or sister or someone in for long periods of time, don't do it for them, do it for Allah's sake. For yourself, do it for yourself. Into the month on a clean slate. If you have any grudges, this is a month you want to be forgiven, then you need to forgive. So these are the pre-Ramadan things that we need to do. It's easy to not eat, it's easy to stand, but it's very difficult to change the heart. And that starts happening, it should have happened before, it starts happening now already. So make a firm niyyah. As we said, everything comes down to niyyah. Innama al-a'malu bin niyyah. Allah will reward you for your intentions. And niyyah is not to say, now, wait, so maghad. That's not the niyyah we're talking about. The Ramadan begins tonight, Maghrib time. The niyyah needs to be ready before that. Niyyah that not only do I want to fast correctly, Ya Allah, but I want to capture every blessing of Ramadan. Allah's going to shower down blessings. I want to capture every single gift. I want this Ramadan, Ya Allah, to be the best Ramadan. That every dua that I can make, I'm going to make, inshallah. That every mistake I have against my name, you're going to forgive it this month. That's the niyyah. Believe that. Believe in your heart that's going to happen. And we will do the efforts. Nothing amazing. Fast and avoid sin. Stand every night in salah. A bit of it. Recite a little bit of Quran. Avoid haram. Don't waste time. And that's it. That's all that is required. I'm not talking about making 60 khatams and those things. No, those are... That's all for the very special. But for the rest of us, we do something. To conclude, we know that the purpose of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stresses the ayat, which you have been inundated. You've heard these ayat so many times coming up to Ramadan. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Allah says fasting is prescribed so that you may attain taqwa. Part of your niyyah and your objective is to say, Ya Allah, if my Ramadan is successful, how do I know it's successful? I've obtained taqwa. That Eid is really the day that you will determine whether your Ramadan was successful or not. Have I obtained taqwa? Taqwa is about your relationship with Allah. Is Allah closer to me than before Ramadan? Do I have a better relationship with Allah? Do I have a better connection with Allah? Won't be that you change everything overnight. You won't be a wali overnight. Although, side note here, during Ramadan while you are fasting, Allah says the thing I love the most, the thing that makes you a wali, is what I have made compulsory. You know, you are doing the very thing that any of the awliya would be doing. That if Muhammad ﷺ was here, he'd be doing what you're doing, fasting. So you are really doing what the awliya are doing. But will it remain with you after Ramadan? That's the challenge. Will you find taqwa? And Allah also mentions two other important points about Ramadan. Allah does not say Ramadan is the month when the bukka treats come out, and Ramadan is the month of samosas and pies, and Ramadan is the month of taraweeh. No, Ramadan is the month of Quran. Ramadan is the month of Quran. And throughout the Quran, this theme that people are reminded, and you either acknowledge the reminder or you turn away for your own detriment. Ramadan forces you to come back to the Quran. Another important objective. So one objective, number one, attain taqwa. I mean, be closer to Allah after Ramadan than before Ramadan. Have more confidence in raising your hands in dua to Allah. Feel happier when you think of Allah. Hopefully that will develop. Number two, have a better relationship and appreciation and love for the Quran. How you develop your love for the Quran, well, that's up to you. Either through listening or reciting or doing tafsir, listening to lectures. Our series here in the masjid is going to be tafsir, not of Juz Amma, but of the commonly recited, probably from Wadduha till the end of Juz Amma. So the ayat that we recite every day to understand what these things are. What is the meaning of these surahs? That's our, inshallah, our theme for this year. So, part objective number two is you need to build a relationship with the Quran. And lastly, لَأَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, that you will feel grateful for the blessings. So Allah deprives you of your wife, of your food for the day. Allah takes away a little bit of your time in salah, so that when things go back to normal, alhamdulillah, I appreciate it. That when I see the man on the street hungry, I can now understand what he's feeling. Throughout the year, I never feel what he's feeling, but now I understand. So those three things are your objectives. And it can be just fasting and standing without achieving the objective, or it can be achieved just through a mindset. This, you know, most of you here are sporting people. When you enter a big tournament, that's what BMI, big match, or BMT, big match temperament. You see the ulama, yeah, right? That big match temperament, that mentality that I'm entering something big, that this is my final. And it could be my final Ramadan. Must have that mindset. You see it in the Haji when he goes for Arafah. Because he knows, I don't know if I'm going to come back to this point. I only have this day and that's it. Well, I might only have this month and that's it. But that's all you need. Allah, it's all you need. All you need is one Ramadan. All you need is one Ramadan to enter into Jannah, to make your dunya right, to bring the rains back, to stop the wars in Syria. It's one Ramadan. That's what Allah is giving you and me in this month. So we have a few hours left. May Allah grant it that we live through it and get to Ramadan. And that this be our best Ramadan. That this Ramadan is the best Ramadan. That we leave nothing on the bench. We put everything out there. Avoid those distractions. Fix those relationships. Build that bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, you've given us a blessing which no other ummah was given this but us. It's a favor to us. And we can attain the highest place in Jannah. The highest places in Jannah are for this ummah. Why? Because you got gifts like Ramadan and Laylatul Qadr, which no other ummah really received. So that's in our hands, inshaAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we pray and hope and ask Allah to assist us, to not to be distracted, to get our mindset right, and to make the niyyah sincere. And may Allah grant us to see through the month fully and perfectly. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Just a few announcements. That inshaAllah, as I said, Ramadan, inshaAllah, our Taraweeh program will begin here. Isha is 7:15. Isha, the Adhan for Isha, will be given at 7:15. And the theme, inshallah, would be tafsir of Juz Amma, but not just Juz Amma, not all of Juz Amma, really the last half, the shorter surahs of Juz Amma. Every evening on Sundays, or Saturdays, every Saturday evening after Taraweeh, there will be another 8 rak'ahs of Salatul Layl, starting from about 9:30. And the last 10 nights, inshallah, will be continuous every night, Salatul Layl. We will once again collect your zakah, any zakah that needs to be paid. Ramadan is the best time to give it. Your fitrah, that is about 40 rand, fitrah. Every single person must pay fitrah before Eid Salah begins. So fitrah, 40 rand for every member of your family. For those who are unable to fast, and there are people, subhanAllah, that taqwa is already there, that even though the doctor says you must not fast, pity, she still says, how can I not fast? I still want to fast. But if really you are unable to, Allah forgives, Allah doesn't want to make you suffer, then it's 10 rand fidya for every day you missed. So please, we're collecting those things and distribute. And for those who attend the program, the Hufad, they come from very far and wide, from very far. If you'd like to donate to the Hufad program as he stands, and you've donated to that, that's your asset. Everyone that makes Salah, you get rewarded for that. So please donate as well for the benefit of our Hufad. And a lot of them are taking up their time, and we say Jazakallah Khair to them. For none of them are full-time, to say, Qura. They're working, so they're taking up their time as best they can. We're also having the soup kitchen where people, that will be extended now in the evening. So again, if you want to feed people, the soup kitchen is making good work. And the masjid as well will have its iftar programs. If you want to donate to the dates or whatever it might be, you can donate to that. There will be parcels. There are people, subhanAllah, that, you know, there are people we know in the community who don't have food to break their fast Maghrib time. Comes to the end of the month, then they don't really have much, maybe a glass of water. So we said we don't want anyone not to have a warm meal in Ramadan. So parcels are given out now already in Ramadan for people during Ramadan. If you'd like to donate for that, please assist. The 15th of Ramadan, we bring the orphans from the different Muslim, the Muslim orphans. And think about it, Ramadan is a family time. We all know that. Where everyone sits around the table, mommy and daddy, and we brings us together. How must it feel for an orphan who doesn't have family in Ramadan? So one day in the year, and this is the best we do, and we should do so much more, the 15th of Ramadan, we bring the orphans and all the Muslim orphans in the different orphanages as best we can. We bring them, we give them a day out, and we have a big iftar with them, and we give them the stationery and whatever the things they need for the year. But just, it's not for them, it's for us. For us to soften our hearts. And to see the blessings. Only when you see what other people don't have, you realize what you have. It's an amazing thing. Even if you don't donate, no problem. Come and attend the function. I don't know if any of us have had a meal with an orphan. Spend your around the table, and just, it's a different mindset. The man came to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, my heart is soft. It's hard. I don't feel sad when I hear about Qiyamah. The Sahabi said, I don't feel sad or cry when I hear about Jahannam. Fix my heart. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, spend time with an orphan. You'll fix your heart. Spend some time with the orphans, inshallah. And then, of course, the Eid, we'll talk more about this, the Mahrajan. Eid to make a pot of food. We'll talk more about that towards the end of Ramadan. Then, of course, the Bukatreats. It's been launched, 2017 Bukatreats. It's out, and it's available for purchase, 160 Rand. Again, all of this is for not-for-profit. Whatever excess is made goes to our nursery school, goes for the upkeep of the masjid. So please, for the wife, the Bukatreats is always a good reminder, something good. And there's some, the Kaifi, some articles and some very beneficial articles, some scholars throughout Cape Town and the rest of the world have contributed to writing the Kaifi. So please, it's a year, the team takes 1 year. They begin basically after Ramadan for the next edition. So please assist. And we hope to see all of you, inshallah, tonight if you can at our Taraweeh program. If not, then keep us in your du'as. Please keep the masjid and our community in your du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us once again in this Ramadan. Ameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.